This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks. And welcome to part two of our ZFC on the Road episode, dealing with the trip from Toronto, Ontario, down to Florida.
And back. And we are recording to you from...
our kitchen.
Yes, our other recording studio. So,
after the epic Epcot ordeal, the next day we powered through another park and did Disney Studios, formerly MGM Disney Studios.
The only thing really of note to say for that is, if you're going to go to the fast foodie place... try out the smoked turkey sandwich, because it's actually a panini, and it's really awesome.
And it doesn't look like a panini in the picture, and I felt totally ripped off, because hers looks so much better than my burger.
And it tasted a lot like, for those Pennsylvanians out there, the Santa Fe turkey sandwich from Eaton Park.
Which is delicious. And the particular establishment that sold that was over by Star Tours, which was closed while we were there, which was a little disappointing. There aren't a lot of rides to do it at Disney Studios. But the Aerosmith coaster totally rocked.
Yes.
We did that one twice. That's the only thing we rode twice the entire time we were at the park. So not much else happened on the trip. We did go see an awesome concert in Orlando.
Carolina Chocolate Drops.
At the Plaza Live, which is a nice little venue for concerts and things like that. They had a nice bar. They had a decent selection of beer on tap and bottles.
They had popcorn to make you thirsty, to make you drink more beer.
Exactly. I know their scam. And it worked because I ate the popcorn and then drank beer. So, really cool little theater. Awesome band.
If you haven't checked them out and you're a fan of either bluegrass, Celtic,
jazz,
country, jazz, any of those genres, or just you like music in general, check out the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Definitely worth it. So, we did have one somewhat epic find in Orlando itself. We found a bagel place just down the road from the timeshare.
And they sell bagels and ice cream.
They do. What a great combination. It's a roll with a whole bagels. And it's going away from Disney, I believe, going west on 192, kind of by where the Super Target is and the Buffalo Wild Wings, the B-dubs. Really nice little, like, small mom-and-pop bagel place. They sell New Jersey-style bagels.
I'm not really sure what the difference between New Jersey-style and New York-style. I can tell you that it seemed like they were a finer texture, they were softer, they weren't as chewy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're kneaded differently or they're boiled differently or what.
They were really kind of thick and fluffy too.
Yeah.
So like they rose more, which may be where the texture came from, I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not sure what the difference is, but
they were
pretty good though.
Excellent bagels, excellent price. You can get 14 for about $10.50, which, you know, feeds a whole flock of people for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the area of Orlando and you're looking for something like that, they're at 7868 West Earl O'Bronson Highway, technically in Kissimmee. They're open the 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., so give them a shot. The other somewhat epic find is we did go to Disney Marketplace, and that's kind of the Disney spend more money, give us more of your money, because we have things that are overpriced that you want to buy area, but they have other stores besides just Disney stores.
Now, was Raglan Road on Pleasure Island, or was it just before it?
Well, Pleasure Island, it's all kind of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was right on the edge of Pleasure Island and Disney Marketplace, where they have a bunch of restaurants. And they have all kinds of places there to eat. There's a Rainforest Cafe, a T-Rex, which is a dinosaur version of Rainforest Cafe, House of Blues. There was...
Planet Hollywood?
Planet Hollywood. There was another one one of the chefs had, like Emerald or somebody. Or
It's Wolfgang Puck Express.
Yeah. He had a place there. There were a whole bunch of other places. And we found an Irish pub. And we drug my niece along with us. And traumatized her. And she ate British-style fish and chips.
Possibly for the first time.
Yes. Which was probably an experience for her. So Sheila had...
I had the epic Guinness beef stew. And you're thinking, how many different ways can there be to make Guinness beef stew? I don't know. But this was pretty good. It was as good as Willie Stout's, dare I say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was served in its own little cauldron.
Which was adorable. That made the plate.
Yeah. And then it had green beans on the side.
And I decided to go for the bangers and mash, which was a traditional bangers and mash.
Much like what I was expecting.
Yes, but it came with Guinness stew. It was bangers and mash and stew. I forget the name for it.
Bangers and booze?
Bangers and booze, that was it. And the bangers, well, it was a sausage. Great sausage. Lean, perfect. Couldn't have asked for anything better. The mashed potatoes were perfect, and I had the same stew that Sheila had in it, and oh my god, it was good. And before the food came out, they brought out soda bread.
Oh yeah, this is the other great thing. The soda bread was really good, and it came with this dip that I'd never seen before. There was olive oil, and it almost was like a lava lamp, because the stuff in the middle was separate from the olive oil, and the stuff in the middle, it tasted like either brown sugar or honey, I couldn't really tell which, Guinness and balsamic vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Like the dessert balsamic vinegar, the older stuff that's kind of you put on ice cream. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God, it was good.
That was pretty awesome. I could have just sat there and ate that all night and drank beer.
Yes. And then, of course.
But they don't allow that kind of thing.
And of course, we had Guinness. Now, they're a little bit up there on the price end. You're looking at around, with drinks, probably $20 a person. And if you hear a horrible crunching sound right now, we're not crushing up human bones.
It's the dog eating a piece of dog beef jerky.
Yes. So
that's beef jerky for dogs, not made out of dogs.
Oh, that would be horrible.
So, I know. Anyway.
Anyway, we had Guinness with our meals, but you're looking at around $20, $25 a person if you go there to eat. So just price accordingly, but it's worth it. Really good food. Again, a lot like some of the pubs we have up here, but you don't see that south of New York, Pennsylvania area. So
if anything, I'd say it was kind of like a gastro pub.
Yeah.
Because it was like trying to be a higher end, especially with the prices, but the ingredients were really good too.
And it's on our list of return spots. The next time my family goes to Florida and we go with them, we do want to go back, and they do live bands at night.
Yeah.
And we want to go back in the evening and have a meal and check out the live bands that are playing. So very, very cool establishment. So now the find of the trip. Now this is the one we saved for the end because it was absolutely the best, hands down.
And we'll probably talk about it for like half an hour.
Yes.
So here we go.
So we've come to the realization we're not always going to find someplace this great all the time. And we had given up hope on the trip. We thought, it wasn't bad. The food was good, but we didn't have anything that made us go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Until the ride back.
We were going through South Carolina and we saw a sign on the interstate for Duke's Barbecue. And we're like, hey, this is someplace to check out. So we pulled off. We actually pulled off at the first exit you can pull off, but if you wait and go to the next exit, if you're heading north, mm-hmm. you'll end up popping out a little bit closer to it.
They do list two different exits on the signs, so feel free to pull off on either one. If you're coming up from the south, go to the second exit because it's a lot closer. Otherwise, you have to wind your way through a very cute town, but you may think you've gotten lost along the way, but they do have a sign as you wind through.
Yeah, it's like, what is it? Go up to the Walgreens and turn right.
Yeah.
That's what the sign actually says.
Yeah.
It gives you, like, country-style directions.
It's very close to Walterboro in South Carolina. It's mm-hmm. right by at that exit, if not that particular exit. So, very easy to find once you're in the area.
So, we go in there, and I swear I've seen this place on the Food Network, but I can't even be sure. But we roll in there.
Wait. Before we even go in, we pull into the parking lot. And Sheila pops her head out the window. She's like, ooh, there's the smokehouses. And behind their restaurant, they have like a big metal shed locked up with a smokestack on it and smoke coming out of it where they're smoking the meat.
It smells divine.
Yes, where they're doing the barbecue. So that was a good sign as soon as we got there.
I'm like, okay, this place is definitely worth checking out.
Totally cha-ching.
Yeah, so we go in there and I wasn't sure what to expect. I thought it was just going to be sit down. But you go in and it's actually buffet style.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the long tables where you can eat family style and meet new people if you want, or they have smaller tables where you can be hermits like us and keep to yourselves. You can make that choice for yourself. So you walk in and you pay, what was it? Was it
$10, taxes included, drink included? Because I thought there would be taxes on top of it, and I said two adults for the buffet, and she said $20 flat. I gave her $20. There was no change. I mean, just
right on.
Cheap as dirt, honestly, for that.
For the food that you're getting.
Oh. And your soda's included. They have a little soda fountain.
Or sweet tea if you want.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know where to start.
I know.
It was so amazing.
Well, first of all, the pulled pork is right there. Bam. Right in your face. With at least six different kinds of barbecue sauce you can pick from. There's mm-hmm. two Carolina-style mustard sauces.
Yeah.
There's a regular one and there's a hot one.
And those were on the buffet in tubs that you would ladle on.
And then they have a bunch of squeeze bottles with other different barbecue sauces, if mm-hmm. that's to your taste. Then, let's see.
The fried chicken.
There was definitely awesomely awesome fried chicken.
Honest to God, 100% Southern style, below KFC away fried chicken.
Yes.
Big old bin of it on the buffet as well. They had the rice, and then they had...
The rice had, like, pulled pork in it. It was really good.
They had regular rice, and they had a rice. It was like a dirty rice. It had pulled pork in it. They had some kind of bean thing you could put on the rice,
mm-hmm.
almost like a red beans and rice kind of mixture.
Right.
Which is a little out of the area for it, but still looked good.
It might be one of those crossover regions. I'm not sure mm-hmm. exactly.
And then the okra.
Oh my God, I ate so much fried okra. It was crazy. That stuff is awesome.
Yes. We've never had fried okra before. It is killer. Especially if you take it, you dip it in a little bit of the mustard barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Perfectly done. It reminded me a little bit of tempura broccoli almost.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, just smaller bits.
Or tempura green beans.
Yeah, that too. You had the sweet potatoes, I think.
I had sweet potatoes. Yeah. They were just, I think they were just canned yams. That's fine.
Yeah.
They were good. They weren't anything special, but they definitely made the meal complete for those that like sweet potatoes. There was also macaroni and cheese, mm-hmm. which I don't know what the heck the deal with that was, but it was, there was some sort of a smooth cheese sauce, and then there was also handfuls of cheddar that had been
mixed in
that weren't completely melted.
Yeah, it was like little treasure troves of cheddar cheese throughout the regular macaroni and cheese. It was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was like, it had to be somebody's grandmother's baked macaroni and cheese recipe. Mm-hmm. It was killer macaroni and cheese, but it was a little different compared to what we're used to making.
Mm-hmm.
It, and then there were all kinds of other things on the buffet. It just, if you walk away from there hungry.
Ambrosia.
Yeah.
And peach cobbler.
The peach cobbler was awesome.
I ate the ambrosia, Tracy ate the peach cobbler.
I had to restrain myself from just going back and loading up a dinner-sized plate of peach cobbler. And at each table, there were bottles of hot sauce, salt and pepper, and loaves of white bread. So, killer food, amazing price, a total epic find of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
If you're traveling through 95, that area, on the way down to Florida, and it's during the day, and you're looking for something to eat, you want to stop there. They are only open certain days and certain hours. I want to say it's like Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
We have a picture of the hours from the sign. We're mm-hmm. going to put it up on the website and on Facebook so you can check it out. But 100% almost worth the trip.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds so cheesy, but food-wise, that was the highlight.
That was the find.
Oh, I'm just thinking about the chicken and the pulled pork right now.
And the chicken was, it tasted like local chicken.
Yeah.
It tasted very chicken-y. Yeah. It had flavor. It wasn't just bland, here's your Tyson chicken.
Exactly. No tricks had been done to the chicken to make it grow faster or something. I don't know. But it was really good chicken. It tasted like almost like local chicken up here. So, $10 a person. And there are other prices for kids. They have a drive-thru. You can just get a big old takeout order of something through the drive-thru. And they have prices for different sides and main
portions. They also have prices
as well
for those that are in their golden years.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had the golden and was it the super golden or something? Mm-hmm. If you were like over 80, you got a special price.
And the place was bustling when we walked into it. It wasn't, tumbleweeds blowing by on the buffet. I mean, no. It was busy.
There was townies, there was tourists, there was everybody.
Exactly.
Because there was people outside getting their picture taken with the concrete pig that I didn't notice until we were already leaving. I'm like, oh man, I wanted my picture with the concrete pig.
But on a totally arrogant note, too, I was very excited to try Southern-style barbecue sauce, or South Carolina-style barbecue sauce in South Carolina, and find that what they had was very close to what we've been making mm-hmm. off of the recipe we found for South Carolina-style barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
That was
Joel
really cool.
recipe.
Which is just a mustard-based barbecue sauce, but it goes amazingly well on pork. It's better on pork than tomato-based barbecue sauce, which I think is better on chicken.
And beef,
yeah.
Yeah.
But pork just totally sings with the mustard-based barbecue sauce.
And since the Carolinas are really pork barbecue country, mm-hmm. it doesn't surprise me that they came up with the best sauce for it.
Yes, it does make sense. And I think after that, it was just kind of heading back to mom and dad's, hanging out for a little bit, heading back to Canada. The only other thing we did that would be noteworthiness enough for us to report to you is we did stop at Primanti Brothers in Cranberry, Pennsylvania.
What?
And, of course, we got delicious Primanti Brothers sandwiches, which if you haven't listened to the episode yet, you want to check it out. Primanti Brothers is amazing. But we tried a couple of the craft beers they had bottles of in Primanti.
I had the hazed and infused crazy dry-hopped IPA. It was hoppy. It was really great, though. It was really refreshing. That first sip, though, was just like, whoa.
It was in your face, hoptacular.
Yeah, then the next sip is divine.
But it was good. It was balanced, at least. Even I liked it when I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila's becoming a little bit of a hophead, though, we think.
Just a bit.
And then I had the Strawberry Blonde by the Lancaster Brewing Company. Yours was a
Mine was
Colorado.
From Colorado. It was Looking Glass Brewery.
Yeah. And then mine was from out on the eastern side of the state, and the Strawberry Blonde was like the strawberry version of the raspberry wheat that we get up here from
Kawartha Brewing
Kawartha Brewing Company. It's like the strawberry version of that.
Yeah.
Excellent beer, very smooth, nice strawberry aftertaste to it. It went surprisingly well with a Primanti Brothers sandwich with the tang of the coleslaw and everything. So if you're in the area and you haven't tried that particular brew from Lancaster, I would check it out.
There's also, we almost forgot, the reason why we wanted to drive down is because we saw this crazy thing about
Big Orange.
Yeah, different roadside attractions hosted by Rick Sebeck from, Was it a PBS special?
It's a WQED, which is the PBS.
The Pittsburgh PBS?
The public broadcasting thing for the Pittsburgh area. And he does a whole whack load of different documentaries. And this is one, I think, from the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. So we saw the world's biggest orange
in Florida.
In Florida. And we actually ended up seeing it when we went out with Tracy's parents. We stopped and they had the best fresh-squeezed orange juice ever.
Yes, giant orange, can't miss it. It's actually east on 192 past Disney, the opposite way of where we were staying, which is why we didn't see it till close to the end of the trip. Mm-hmm. So we swung by and tried their oranges and bought some orange juice and got a t-shirt, because we're tourists like that, and a magnet.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents bought one of the orange jams.
It's like an orange jelly, a tangerine jelly?
Yeah, it wasn't quite a marmalade. It was more like a jelly. So we'll find out from them how it was.
They also had a lot of orange blossom honey and stuff like that, so.
And orange trees. If you live in the States and you're in Florida, bring back a souvenir, plant an orange tree, see if it lives in your climate or not. So anything else you want to add on the trip? Anything we should warn them about besides the ticket scams?
We forgot to cover Epcot bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the lowdown on Epcot bathrooms. So
you want to go in, is it Germany? I can't remember what it was.
It was, as soon as you walk into the park, as you're looking at the map, it seemed like the countries on the left-hand side had bigger bathrooms, and like Canada and England had tiny little stalls, like two stalls per bathroom.
Yeah.
But when we went to Norway and we stopped in Japan and we stopped at a couple other countries on that side, like Mexico, huge bathrooms, like plenty of stalls for everybody. So just kind of keep that in mind, that if you run into a bathroom and there's a huge lineup and there's only two stalls, go over another country or two and you're going to find a bathroom. If you can hold it, you're going to find a bathroom that'll be more accommodating, so. Which we didn't know. We thought, oh God, all the bathrooms are like this all over the park. And then we went to Norway and found huge bathrooms.
I'm pretty sure it was like Norway, Germany, and China. Mm-hmm. Or was it Norway, Germany, and Japan that had...
I think it was Norway, Germany, and Japan.
They had the big bathrooms.
Yeah.
With lots of stalls.
So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zvi Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zvi Fat Chicks. And we're right back to tell you that there's some awesome news. Oshawa has been chosen for the first official Canadian place for Buffalo Wild Wings.
Also known as BW3. If, you know, you've been going there for years, you remember what it was actually Buffalo Wild Wings in WEC. But now they're just Buffalo Wild Wings. Anyway, Americans, you know what it is. It's a little buffalo on the...
On yellow, roller skates.
On the yellow and black symbol with the little wings.
Oh, the roller skates are the takeout. Sorry.
Yeah, the roller skates are the takeout. So, we were driving down Taunton Road one day, and I screamed like a girl. Well, I am a girl, but I screamed like a girl, and pointed out the window as we were hurtling down the road at high speed, because we were going by a sign that said Future Site of Buffalo Wild Wings, with the little buffalo with the wings on the yellow and black symbol.
Their first official date that they opened, or their official grand opening, was the date that we got back from Florida.
It was the day we got married.
Yes.
May 16th. Woo! Woo! Exciting, isn't it?
So we...
Didn't get a chance on opening day.
Yeah, to go for opening day.
Well, we didn't know they were opening that day.
We just knew they were opening soon.
Exactly. Had we known, we probably would have left earlier Monday morning and would have been back in time for the opening day, because we are just that dorkalicious.
We're that big of fangirls.
Exactly. We did make it there about, what, 2 weeks later?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just like we remembered, but this place is big. It's not as big as the one in Columbus that has two levels, but it is really big.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's very much a sports bar, more so than the one in Morgantown that we used to go to about once a week.
Yeah. There's like all kinds of killer TVs. There's at least 4 sports showing at any given time.
Exactly. Tons of big screen TVs. It surprised me when we walked in, because it seemed like such a family environment, because there were... It's separated between the bar area and the table area, and the table area was just full of families, tons of little kids. And then the bar area had the elevated tables, and that was full of adults. So let's talk about the menu, because there's a couple differences, and I don't want to forget them.
Well, there is a couple special Canadian flavors that they added to the menu.
There's one. It's the,
Is it honey garlic?
Yeah.
But there's also that one, too, the one, it's like a Parmesan. It's like that white
sauce. It's like a creamy Parmesan one.
Yeah. So those two, I think, are like the special Canadian sauces that they had to add, because everybody else, every other wing joint in Canada has them.
But all our favorites are still there. Mango habanero, blazing sauce.
Honey barbecue.
Oh, what's the Asian one that I like? Asian Zing. Asian Zing is my second favorite sauce.
And mango habanero is my first favorite sauce. Of course it's my first favorite. The favorite is always first. Anyway, so the sauces, they have the same variety that you remember. Canadians who are used to Wild Wings, you don't have the 100 flavors. For those of you who are American and don't know what we're talking about with Wild Wings and the 100 flavors, there's a chain up here we talked about in our wing episode called Wild Wings, and they have a certain number of basic flavors, and then you can use those to make different flavor combinations, so then they can put on their menu that they have over 100 flavors.
Yeah.
Buffalo Wild Wings, we're just going to call it B-Dubs from now on. B-Dubs doesn't have the same thing. You get one flavor. It's one sauce. It's okay. The sauces are that good. You don't need to combine the flavors.
Yeah.
For instance, the mango habanero is one of the few sauces I've ever had that it has flavor. It's sweet. It's tasty. But it has a pile of heat behind it.
Yeah. It's flavor and fire.
Exactly. If you like spicy sauces, that's one to check out. It's their third hottest flavor on the menu. The Blazon is insanely painfully hot. If you wear contacts, you may not want to eat it without some gloves. I'm not being crazy or facetious. I've eaten it before, and
the capsaicin's an oil, and it'll soak into your skin.
Yeah.
So later on, make sure that you, if you're doing anything to do with your mucous membranes, make sure that you're wearing proper protection, whether that be Kleenex, extra toilet paper, or gloves.
Yes. And taking out your contacts is a very painful process if your hands are full of capsaicin because you ate dinner at B-Dubs with the really, really, really hot sauce. But the sauces are great. So they have all the basics on the menu. They have burgers, they have the onion rings, they have the potato wedges, which are a seasoned potato wedge.
Yeah, they don't have the buffalo chips. In the States, they have, it's like penny slices, I guess, of potato fried. Instead, they just have regular fries and wedges, right?
Yes, and the wedges are delicious. They taste just like they did in the States.
Yep.
They have they don't have the mini corn dogs either on the menu, which was a little disappointing. Mini corn dogs are just that, little tiny mini corn dogs that came with a little
cup of Dijon mustard
that you could dip them in, and they were really good. And I don't really like corn dogs, but the little ones were the perfect ratio. Well, they were the perfect ratio of the corn breading to the hot dog.
Yeah.
It wasn't too much hot dog.
It's true. Or it wasn't too much coating.
Exactly. Because corn dogs go one of two ways. They're either too much hot dog and too thin of a coating, or there's way too much coating and there's just like a little tiny hot dog in the middle.
Yeah. Now, what else did we see? They have the naked tenders, they had the boneless wings, they have regular wings.
They have burgers, and they had wraps, and they had salads. However, one of the things missing from the menu that we actually enjoyed once in a while, and we were kind of surprised not to see it, because it would have given them an edge, I think, in the Canadian market, is they don't have the chicken legs anymore.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have the drumsticks, which, you know,
we told the waitress about it, and she was, like, shocked. She's like, that's such a great idea.
Yeah. And in most American, at least the one that we used to go to all the time, I think you said it had it in Columbus, too.
Yeah, they had the 50-cent legs on Wednesdays.
And these are the full chicken leg, the drums. Not the drumettes that are a little tiny half of the wing. This is the full thing. Like the one you used to grab when you were a kid as soon as a bucket of KFC came home. Because when you're a kid, the first thing you grab is always the drumstick.
Right.
So it was those. And they'd fry them just like a wing and whip them around in the sauce. And you just had a giant chicken wing, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Well, it was more dark meat, but
yeah,
it was good if you were drinking, especially.
Yeah. And it was the kind of thing where two of those and a basket of wedges would do you for the night. I mean, it was really good.
Because the amount of meat on a leg is a lot more than that on a wing.
Now, again, Canadians going to B-Dubs, their wings are not breaded. They're the naked wing. It's fried till it's crispy and then rolled in the sauce.
But the boneless wings are breaded.
Exactly. And they're crunchy and delicious, and they don't
skip
on the sauce.
Like little chicken tenders, yeah.
Yeah, they're delicious. And with the breading, you have to worry about you don't put enough on, it's too dry.
Yeah.
This doesn't have that problem. They're very liberal with it. And then the naked tenders are just the pretty much chicken breast skewers that are grilled.
Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to be the one in the party who's watching your whatever, your carbs, your calories, your fried food, there's something there you can actually eat, and it's not a salad.
Yeah.
Which has always been one of my favorite things about B-Dubs. You can go and not break the calorie bank.
Yeah.
The prices are a little bit more than the American B-Dubs, but not much, really. Maybe a buck more. It's very much on par with all the Canadian pricing for wings. So, and the beer area, we didn't get any beer when we went. We just had boneless tenders, and we shared a basket of wedges. But the beer selection was impressive.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, they had quite the variety. So if you happen to be in the Durham region and you want to check this place out, this is the first one. Give it a shot. Really
first
good
first one in Canada.
First one in Canada. First international B-dubs, actually, too.
Exactly.
Because they were the waitresses were so excited, too. The service was amazing.
Yeah. They were on it.
They were just thrilled to be the first Canadian B-dubs. They were thrilled to be there. They were so full of energy. Everybody was so happy and peppy. And we went on a Friday evening at dinner hour, and they were still just pleased as punch to be doing what they were doing, which I think is rare in an establishment like that. So, very impressed. Anything else you wanted to add about it?
I don't think so.
I know I've been just gushing enthusiastically.
I know.
I'm so excited we have a B-dubs. The only thing that I'm disappointed in is they don't have NTN.
And they don't have any desserts.
They did have desserts. We just didn't order any. They didn't have the cheesecake that we used to get all the time.
Oh, that's right.
But they did have two desserts on the menu, I think. They do takeout as well, which is nice because you can just call it in and go pick it up and avoid the chaos in the crowd. But they don't have the National Trivia Network, which we're used to seeing at Buffalo Wild Wings. So maybe it's coming because they had a lot of TVs. Like, they planned on putting it in. So we'll see what happens. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we're Spy Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Via Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter. You can email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends. Please make sure that credit is given. Thanks for listening and have a great day.